Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
While the leadership of Clemson fights to normalize murder, political murder, as a legitimate political point of view, that's what you're doing. If you want to keep these professors on staff, simply temporarily removing them from the classroom is not good enough. J.D. Vance goes the opposite direction. Lee, in an epic appearance on the Charlie Kirk Show, he couldn't have done a better job. And he did not hold back. He started with a Disney trip that he and his wife and children tried to take.
My wife and I decided to take our kids to Disneyland one weekend. We had fun, and to be clear, most of the guests said very nice things, or they just left us alone. But there was a loud and very cool minority that would shout at my children, who were 8, 5, and 3, whenever they got the opportunity. "You should disown your dad, you little s***," one middle-aged woman yelled at my 5-year-old. "Tell the Secret Service to protect the Constitution, not your father," screamed another. "Are these women violent? Probably not. Are they deranged? Certainly. And while our side of the aisle certainly has its crazies, it is a statistical fact that most of the lunatics in American politics today are proud members of the far left." After Charlie died, one of his friends and one of our senior White House staffers had left-leaning operatives in his neighborhood passing out leaflets telling people what he looked like and where he lived, encouraging neighbors to harass him or, God forbid, to do worse. While he was mourning his dead friend, he and his wife had to worry about the political terrorists drawing a big target on the home he shares with his young children.
What is he doing here? He's illustrating that 25% statistic I gave you earlier. 25% of those who self-identify as very liberal and 17% of those who identify as liberal, Lee, say that violence is justified in some places. And you're seeing that in that anecdote. This is not a couple of crazy Antifa loons who are off their meds. This is a widespread problem. Have you seen this video? This is from online. It's a mom, obviously a liberal mother, and she goes to her two, she's filming this. She's telling her two daughters, the point is to tell her two daughters, "I've got the most amazing news. Taylor Swift is going to marry Travis Kelce," right? And she tries to get the little girls to guess what her amazing news is. She says, "I've got the most amazing news. The best thing happened." Listen to what these little girls reflexively say, Lee. One of them looks about 6, maybe 7. The other one looks 10 or 11. Listen to this.
"I have the best news ever."
"What?" "Donald Trump died."
Second best news."
"The vice president died?"
"Okay, third best news."
"That Elon Musk died?"
"Okay, no. Nobody died. My best friend's getting married."
"Which one is it?"
"Taylor Swift." "Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged."
There's something seriously wrong in that home.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. And I said, you know, we were talking about this as a family, and I said to my kids, I mean, you guys have grown up with me and dad, like, over the constantly having a political conversation over the tops of your heads. This is what we do. It's our passion. Have you ever once, even one time ever, heard us say, "We hope somebody died"? My kids thought about it, and they're like, "No. We want to defeat them at the ballot box."
Yes. Ballots, not bullets.
Right. But they thought about it, and they said, "No." And I said, that right there. That's the difference between them and us. And I would argue that is not an isolated case after what J.D. Vance just played us. I mean, a friend of Charlie Kirk's, who I guess is high up in the Trump administration, his neighbors are passing out flyers where he lives saying, "Harass him. He's a friend of Charlie Kirk's. Would you guys want to kill Kirk again?" And threatening violence and worse. This circulated in his neighborhood. They talked about targeting his house where he and his kids live. This is mainstream on the left. This is what we have to rip out by the roots. If we cannot defeat them, then they must be afraid of losing their jobs. This cannot, this kind of conversation cannot be socially acceptable. This is our fight right now. And it begins at Clemson. We're not going to forget. And you know what's going to happen, Lee? 6 months from now, they fired one guy and said, okay, we'll give you one. Well, we'll go keep the other two, though. We'll keep them on a payroll. We'll keep them out of the classroom for now. That is infuriating. Because they didn't say we'll never put them back. They're going to wait till this blows over and put them right back in the classroom. And the next time there's a murder of someone on the right, which is coming, they'll do it again and again and again. This is hip and hot on the left now. The next time this happens, they'll say, oh, we've got a right to advocate for killing you. Look, those two Clemson professors weren't fired. That establishes a right. You know what the left is like? The left is like my kids. If I let them stay up one night till midnight, yeah. Oh, you just can't do it because every other night after that, they want to stay up till midnight. Oh, they got to have a key for murder. I want to do it too and keep my job. No. No, you don't get to keep your job.
Well, especially when it is, your job is funded by taxpayer dollars. You know, that's what makes this really significant. When you have people that are employed by the state of South Carolina and are getting our tax dollars to behave in such a, you know, vile and irresponsible way. You know, I'm not excusing it for anybody else who works for the private sector, but, you know, when you are working for a public entity, you got to have a little discipline there, folks.
We've never had this problem on our side because we're not out there advocating for the murder of the left. No. There's no comparison. When the left says, oh, it's so unfair, they're trying to cancel us now. No, there's no comparison.
No.
Anybody who's on our side who advocates for the murder of someone on the left should be fired. Immediately. Gone. Especially if they're in a public position. And I say that because I want to win this thing because we are the good guys. We're the good people. We're the ones who, instead of doing $2 billion worth of damage and murdering 32 people during the Summer of Love, that's what Black Lives Matter and their rioters did. You know what we did? We went to church in record numbers. You know what we did? We went to prayer vigils. Mm-hmm. You know what we did? We held up signs and we prayed. That's who we are. And I don't want anybody on our side saying anything violent. And if they do, and they should be fired from their job, I want you to be disgraced and fired because I want to make it really clear who we are and who they are. No tolerance for people like that. And yet the left wants tolerance for people like that. And they're trying to say, oh, now you're trying to cancel us just like we cancel you. No, there's no comparison.
Nope.
We did not advocate for the murder of the left. No one on our side supports that. And they're trying to pretend that there's some moral equivalence here. There is none. And that's why we have to fight so hard with Clemson. Because if they can get away with this in a deep red state, it's going to become the norm everywhere. Professors teaching and advocating murder, they'll look and say, oh, they got to do it. They got to stay up past midnight. I want to do it too. That's why it's got to be defeated. And J.D. Vance was really clear about that, Lee, that look, we can't, you know, have unity with these people, as the Democrats are saying. These people who have advocated for violence. And you know what's interesting? Mark Halperin, a former New York Times reporter, did a podcast where he admitted Democrat Party hasn't really condemned this. Not the way they should. Listen to this crosstalk here, and you could see what J.D. Vance is talking about.
The Democrats can say, well, leaders haven't cheered Charlie's death, but they've not condemned in a full-throated way what many on the left have done. And they've now, the hypocrisy of Democrats in the media saying, how dare there be cancel culture? How dare there be efforts to get people fired? The hypocrisy
and
of that.
Mark, but I watched these guys, to your point, like Chuck Todd sitting out there, we both need to take the temperature down. He has never once said a damn thing about anything when the right was being canceled
for
the last 8 years.
Correct.
And
correct.
One last and now, thing that I'll say on this. For 8 years, actually going on 10, if you think about this shooter, he's 22, 20, I guess 22 now. So think about this. Since he's been 12 years old, all that kid has heard in legacy media, in by educators. I remember my kids, when Trump was elected, they had a crying day. You could take the day off. It's a nursery school, for goodness sake. We have been told that this side and our leaders pose an existential threat. You wonder why 12-year-olds grow up and become radicalized, because they've been told that our side is horrible right. and bad.
So I will say, for everything Sean said was true.
That's all that kid heard for 10 mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
And now Clemson's like, we want to protect the people who are now going to the next step, not just saying Hitler, 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 Nazi, existential threat, got to put it down, got to extinguish it. They want to protect the people who are outright celebrating murder. What? So the next 12-year-old watching this will turn 21, 22 and pick up a gun? That what you want at Clemson? Fire them now.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
J.D. Vance did not hold back yesterday. It was a glorious edition of the Charlie Kirk Show, where he lays it out. He starts with this article in The Nation justifying the murder of Charlie Kirk, blaming it on him, which is the route the left is trying to go with this.
I read a story in The Nation magazine about my dear friend Charlie Kirk. Now, The Nation isn't a fringe blog. It's a well-funded, well-respected magazine whose publishing history goes back to the American Civil War. George Soros's Open Society Foundation funds this magazine, as does the Ford Foundation and many other wealthy titans of the American progressive movement. The writer accuses Charlie of saying, and I quote, "Black women do not have brain processing power to be taken seriously." But if you go and watch the clip, the very clip she links to, you realize he never said anything like that. He never uttered those words. He made an argument against affirmative action as a policy. He criticized a specific Supreme Court justice as an individual. He never said anything about black women as a group. He made an argument for judging people of all races and backgrounds by their own individual merits. The very evidence she provides, this hack of a writer, shows that she lied about a dead man, and yet she wrote it. An esteemed magazine published it. It made it through the editors, and of course, liberal billionaires rewarded that attack. Now, of course, even if Charlie had uttered those words, it wouldn't mean that he deserved his fate. But consider the level of propaganda at work. Charlie was gunned down in broad daylight, and well-funded institutions of the left lied about what he said so as to justify his murder. This is soulless and evil.
Wow. This is J.D. Vance filling in for Charlie Kirk. He continued.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. Did you know that the George Soros Open Society Foundation and the Ford Foundation, the groups who funded that disgusting article justifying Charlie's death, do you know they benefit from generous tax treatment? They are literally subsidized by you and me, the American taxpayer. And how do they reward us? By setting fire to the house built by the American family over 250 years. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country.
And we have to dismantle them, folks, because this morning we got another one. Another employee at another South Carolina college calling for the murder of Nancy Mace. She's next, apparently. This person tweeted, his name is Kyle. He works at Coastal Carolina. Terrifyingly, he is a public safety dispatcher. And he tweeted this. After Nancy Mace tweeted, "We know Charlie Kirk would want us to pray for such an evil and lost individuals like Tyler Robinson and find Jesus Christ. We will try to do the same." This person tweets, "No surprises there, especially from this two-faced, starts with C, ends with T. But with how much she loves throwing slurs around on the Congress floor, she might not be far behind." Talking about Nancy Mace. I don't know what it is with liberal men calling conservative women starts with C, ends with T. I've gotten into some really heated debates with conservative men online, and they've called me stupid, dumb, stuff like that. But never the C word. It's always liberal men, and it's like usually within a comment or two, they'll hit you with the C word. I do not. They are very masochistic, these men. It's one of the, part of the reason I tell my daughter not to date them. They're total masochist. Just very sexist. But yeah, so he's we're clear. He's saying Nancy Mace is next. He works at Coastal Carolina, so I'm just wondering, he gonna be shown the door, or is it okay to threaten to kill Nancy Mace? Just get in line? Folks, this is a Congress member whose wannabe assassin is trans man. So it's a man transitioning to woman. Currently behind bars here in Greenville County because a judge had the wisdom to deny him bond for now. Here's another post by this person saying violence is never the answer, ignores reality. Violence freed slaves. Violence stopped Hitler. Violence protects families from attackers when police can't get there in time. The truth is violence has ended more evils than peaceful words ever have. It's not about whether violence is the answer. It's about when it becomes the only answer. This person works in safety. They're everywhere, folks. We got to root them out. Look, the left has done this with its lies and propaganda. These people are dangerous for one reason. That's the definition of mental illness. What you perceive to be reality and what is actual reality are not the same. That's classic mental illness. You cannot perceive reality. Well, the leftist media has created a reality so fake, that their viewers, their listeners, cannot perceive actual reality. They live in a fake reality that brings out the violence in them, and they are in positions of power. So I would say to Clemson this morning, who are you going to stand with? Are you for murder or are you against murder? Can't have both. It is not good enough to leave people on the payroll and force the taxpayer. This is a red state, okay? So the people that they are justifying the murder of, it's us, the ones paying the bill in a majority. Simply taking two professors and saying, hey, we're not going to put them in the classroom for now, not good enough. They must be fired. So to the president, to the provost, to the heads of Clemson, I would say you either for murder or against murder, you need to decide. And if you decide wrong, you need to be defunded. So help the president of Clemson understand. Here is his email address, president@clemson.edu. Now, we are all Charlie Kirk. We are polite. We use please. We use thank you. And we use threatening words. Like defund, but we don't say anything negative. We don't cuss. Write your email as Charlie Kirk would have. Polite, but firm. We oppose murder. We are not letting the left on campus build the norm that advocating for or celebrating the murder of Charlie Kirk is political speech with which we're all okay. Because that is what the leadership of Clemson is trying to establish, and we're not going to let it happen. If I have to do this every single day, we will. Folks, this is profound, and it actually, to their credit, came from a liberal, former New York Times and Washington Post reporter Mark Halperin. He's also a former ABC News reporter who now does his own podcast. I want to play this again because it's so powerful. Talking about the message that Tyler Robinson would have heard for the last 10 years from the time he was 12, what he was marinated in by the left.
The Democrats can say, well, leaders haven't cheered Charlie's death, but they've not condemned in a full-throated way what many on the left have done. And they've now, the hypocrisy of Democrats in the media saying, how dare there be cancel culture? How dare there be efforts to get people fired? The hypocrisy
and
of
Mark,
that.
But I watched these guys, to your point, like Chuck Todd sitting out there, we both need to take the temperature down. He has never once said a damn thing about anything when the right was being canceled for the last 8 years. One last thing that I'll say on this. For 8 years, actually going on 10, if you think about this shooter, he's 22 now. So think about this. Since he's been 12 years old, all that kid has heard in legacy media, in by educators. I remember my kids, when Trump was elected, they had a crying day. You could take the day off. It's a nursery school, for goodness sake. We have been told that this side and our leaders pose an existential threat. You wonder why 12-year-olds grow up and become radicalized? Because they've been told that our side is horrible and bad.
So I will say for everything Sean
said was— So what did he put Tyler Robinson, killed Charlie Kirk, what did he put on the bullet, on the cartridge, Utah Governor Spencer Cox?
Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point.
And where might that have come from? Where might that fascist moniker have come from?
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Tyler Robinson got the message loud and clear.
Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point.
But Democrats like Jasmine Crockett out there saying, it doesn't matter if I call you a Nazi. No, it's Trump's fault if you get shot.
Me disagreeing with you, me calling you, you know, I want to be Hitler, all those things are like not necessarily saying go out and hurt somebody. But when you're literally telling people at rallies, yeah, beat them up and that kind of stuff, like you are promoting like a culture of violence.
So see, it was Trump's fault, not Jasmine's.
And I'm sorry, but instead, we are not only going to punch you back, but we are going to knock you out.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. It's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard.
See the game they play? I mean, man, those two clips are perfect. What, us? Talking about Nazis? No. It's Donald Trump.
Me disagreeing with you, me calling you, you know, I want to be Hitler. All those things are, like, not necessarily saying go out and hurt somebody. But when you're literally telling people at rallies, yeah, beat them up. And that kind of stuff, like you are promoting like a culture of violence.
You mean like this, Jasmine?
And I'm sorry, but instead, we are not only going to punch you back, but we are going to knock you out.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. It's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard.
That's their game right there. 30 seconds. Nazi, 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 fascist, Nazi, 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 fascist, fascist, Nazi. Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to protect America. Oh, no, we didn't say violence. But do knock them over the head. It's a game, folks. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Unbelievable. What just happened at Audrey Kell High School in Charlotte. Stuff like this is going on all over the country as good battles evil. Kids, you know how there's rocks outside of high schools? Yeah, well, some kids over the weekend were grief-stricken about Charlie Kirk. Went out there, painted the rock white, and then they wrote, and this is beautiful, "Live like Kirk, John 11-25. They put their first names on it. This has enraged the lunatic leftist principal at Audrey Kell. She called the police and says that whoever the people who defaced the rock, mind you, it's out there for graffiti, are now under investigation. Police have open investigation. This is the People's Republic of Charlotte, right? I mean, it's run by Democrat lunatics. They're treating this as a crime. Law enforcement from Charlotte Observer. Law enforcement is investigating vandalism to the Spirit Rock at Audrey Kell High School in South Charlotte after students painted it over the weekend with an unauthorized tribute to conservative media personality Charlie Kirk. We are aware that this is the principal. We are aware that the Spirit Rock in front of our school was painted this weekend with a message that was not authorized or sponsored by the school or district, Audrey Kell principal Susan Nichols wrote in a message to parents Sunday. This is such an emergency. She's got to interrupt their Sunday. Acts like this are considered vandalism to school property or a violation of the CMS code of conduct. If students are responsible for the vandalism, they may be disciplined. Law enforcement has been contacted. We are cooperating with the investigation. The rock sits at the entrance of Audrey Kell's campus. Okay. Live like Kirk in a Bible verse. Yeah, when you're demonically influenced, that probably hurts you physically as you drive by it. She probably is. But here's the problem. Students did the exact same thing after George Floyd died. They painted the rock black with the communist fist, Marxist fist of power, and Black Lives Matter, BLM, with George Floyd written all over it, and names of others allegedly murdered by the police, most of whom, by the way, were not murdered by the police. Those were fake news stories. But whatever, they painted them on the rock. She had them investigated by the police. No. She sent out a letter to parents warning about vandalism. No. They just left it. See the problem here? I'd sue if I were these kids. It cannot be one way but not the other in our society. Those kids didn't ask for permission either. So it's a huge problem. But apparently we need law enforcement to stop it. She just doesn't like seeing a Bible verse and Charlie Kirk's name. She didn't like it. She's a liberal. That's why. All right. Coming up on the show, so much going on this morning. It's just unbelievable what is happening here, including Attorney General Pam Bondi. I really love what she's done for the country, but she's got this one totally wrong. I'll tell you what's going on next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.